Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down and read one comic and we see what kind of things can happen. This week, it's, what is this, Skyman?
Skyman!
This is supposedly a spin-off of the Captain Midnight series that Matthew and I reviewed several months ago from Dark Horse Comics. It would have been at least 7 months ago. Maybe six. More, eight. Yeah, because I think we did Captain Midnight number zero is, I think, what we did. Anyway.
We may have done, one of us did zero on the podcast, and I think we did one as a dueling review or vice versa.
Okay, so apparently there's something that happened over there in that series, because if you read the inside cover, it says, created to replace Captain Midnight after his disappearance, the Skyman program has provided the military with a superhero for decades. Recently, in an overzealous act of patriotism, the active Skyman blew up a building in New York City. Captain Midnight prevented any loss of life, but the high-flying battle between the heroes above the Big Apple led to an unwanted attention for the Skyman program, and now the program needs a scapegoat.
A scapegoat.
So here's what I learned from this book. You have Skyman, who is a racist SOB who just murders and maims for no reason, especially people of color. You've got the Skyman program that is made up of a bunch of whitey whites, and the general who's trying to be a lot more PC needs somebody of color to do that. Enter a this thing is filled with tropes. A black man who's been wounded in the war, can't walk with his legs, who may or may not have been responsible for getting his entire team in combat killed.
He has a mysterious backstory where something tragic has happened.
And his CO, his commanding officer, is a complete dick and a half.
And his CO wanted to be Skyman, but because of the racist debacle of the previous Skyman, they went out, and this is the part that bothers me. They, on panel, had a long discussion about how they had to get a person of color in the Skyman suit to overcome.
Yes, and I have no idea why they had to spend, they didn't have to spend all the pages that they did saying, well, you know, there's too many white people in this group. We need to diversify, and we need someone of color, and get out there, because the more focus that's on this, the more ACLU is going to come down on our
Thing that I like, the fact that they have an African-American man.
I don't have a problem with that. I really don't.
I like the fact that they have a person of color. I dislike the fact that they literally spend half this book justifying in story.
Yeah.
Why they have that. And to me, it's one of those moments where you're almost trying too hard.
Yes.
Because you're saying, here's my hero, here's the main character. And granted, the main character, Eric, the new Skyman, is probably the only decent person in the book with an active role.
But he comes off as a coward.
Well, he comes off as kind of a tortured soul, maybe one of those guys who used to be a warrior, soldier guy who's now been transformed into someone more pacifistic and less hyper-violent. But here's the problem that I have about this book.
There's only one?
There are several. Okay. I came into this book, I wanted to read this because in 1941, a man named Ogden Whitney, who you really should look up.
Okay.
Ogden Whitney and a writer I know you know, Gardner Fox.
Yes,
did a book for Columbia Comics, which was super minor. Columbia Comics was to Fawcett Comics what Fawcett Comics was to DC Comics, if that makes any
sense. Yes, it does.
And they made stories of the original Skyman. He had a red, white, and blue suit. He had an interesting chest symbol, fascinating headgear.
Yeah.
And Ogden Whitney was a wonderfully evocative artist. And I came into this going, I really loved those Ogden Whitney's things.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that, you know, hey, let's read this because I love those Skyman stories when they were collected by, I want to say, AC Comics in the 80s, 90s. Yeah. This is not that.
And I can understand updating a book. I mean, I really can. We read Captain Midnight, and we saw how they were updating that series, you know, bringing him into the present and trying to adjust to the situation. But this one is just, I mean, yeah, it really did work. This one, okay, so you have a Sky Captain or whatever his name is, Sky Captain.
Sky Captain.
You have him being, you know, unnerved and unbalanced. Okay, I can see a character like that because we've been, Skyman, we've been dealing with that in books like Irredeemable, right? Mm-hmm. Where somebody goes off the deep end and just starts maiming and killing for no apparent reason except that he's all powerful and he can. I can deal with that. And I don't have a problem with a person of color under the mask who's assuming the roles and responsibilities.
Right.
But set up from the beginning, there is not one good person in this entire book. Everyone is either corrupt. Everyone has some potential backstory that points to cowardice or to corruption.
Racism or jackwagonry.
Yeah, and I don't understand why that has to be the focus here. You know, the general who comes in and looks at the current Sky Project people, he could have just simply walked in and said, you know what, I know you've all been training for years, but we need somebody who's not been in this role, who may not have gone through the same corruption, you know, not as been corrupted or the potential to be corrupted, like our last person. Go out and find somebody else, or I have somebody in mind. Smash cut to our hero in the rehab center,
in the rehab facility.
Which, and I think that would have worked out so much better. But I don't know. Just like we're spending too much time talking about it, I think they spent too much time focusing on the PC nature of trying to get this hero in place.
Exactly. So there's an old shampoo commercial which states you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
The first impression of this book is I love Joshua Falkov. I love the voices he gives his characters.
Right.
They are realistic. They're understandable. But the first two pages of this book include multiple racial slurs and flipbacks. And, you know, this is my thing. I don't necessarily care for real world politics in escapist fiction.
Right.
Not because I don't care about politics, not because I don't want to take a side, but because it's kind of like my theories on religion in comics.
Yeah.
The Son of Satan, I'm like, oh, I love the Son of Satan. But if you try to give me a character whose powers come from, you know, Muhammad or Jesus, I kind of go, maybe not so much. There's too much potential for problems here. And when the character, the previously active crazy butt Skyman, is talking about the President of the United States and using some really evocative and creative and hateful slurs about the sitting president.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the thing that shocked me the most. I mean, that really shocked me.
They've gone to so many lengths. They've gone to great lengths to give us a story that has they're going for what they call the adult overtones.
Yeah.
Good with that. Fine with that. But what it comes across as is an unfortunate implication that you have to spend half your first issue justifying
and apologizing.
Why? Yeah. Essentially over explaining why our hero is a person of color.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to, in my mind, spend that much time giving us an explanation. I mean, come on. Luke Cage had his own book 40 years ago.
Right.
This is not a world where we need to spend this much time explaining why is Skyman a black man? Because this is the new Skyman.
Yeah, because that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Get and used
even
to it.
Even if you go straight forward with that thing and you say the old Skyman was a racist, murderous bastard.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
notice
whenever they're introducing the bad guy, the only time he really goes off the deep end is when he is talking about the current president and his skin color, which, you know, is real shocking.
It is.
And I can get over that fairly quick because they're trying to set him up as a bad guy.
Right.
But then they're going on and saying, oh, he uses the N-word and he does this and he does that. And it's like, oh, come on.
And something else that is problematic, and I shouldn't say problematic because problematic is kind of the internet equivalent of putting on a fedora, but I love fedoras too. So I have an issue with the redesign of the character.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah. Well, artistically speaking, this is not a strong, consistent book. It's a little bit bloopy and a little bit lumpy in terms of some of the facial expressions and some of the anatomy.
Yeah.
But Skyman, the original Skyman, had a costume that's primarily white and red with blue accents.
Mm-hmm.
So when we translate this new Skyman cartoon character, you see the crazy old racist Skyman wearing that costume.
Right.
And he's wearing that, and then he dies, and we get a new costume, which is, frankly, generic superhero.
Yeah.
It's a blue and white leotard with, and granted, I think it is clever that he only has the cape when he's in flight, and the cape is part of his flight gear.
Which is, I don't know, that's a little weird how it just pops out like that.
I kind of like that, because that's, you know, like we talked about, or will have talked about in a recent future podcast.
Yeah.
Something unique about the character that you don't see anywhere else. But
yeah,
what we have is a costume that's a big field of blue with a big chunk of white in the middle and tiny accents of red. And it just comes across as literally the, you know, the dime store Walmart version that you can go and purchase.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into a Kmart on Halloween and this is what you get. It's generic, man.
Yeah.
I don't feel like the design does them any favors, both in terms of homaging the original Skyman, honoring what has come before, or having an interesting character. Helmet works.
Yeah, the helmet works. The cape that pops out doesn't really do it for me. I mean, there's some. I'm really struggling to try to find something really positive.
Well, it's in yet another quasi military government sponsored superhero, which is a trope that is now pushing 30 years of prominence from like 1982, 83, 84.
With like wet works and stuff.
Even before that. I mean, okay. You go back to some of these characters. You started seeing the corporate superhero expectation around 83, 84.
Yeah, Max Lord.
And you get an early appearance as a Booster Gold.
Yeah.
But the government issued superhero thing is now, I think, officially cliche.
Yeah,
it is officially something that if you say to me, he's a government sponsored superhero, I'm thinking, OK, well, we have the Ultimates. We have the Youngblood. We literally any comic book universe, practically any comic book creator, you can go seen the premise.
Yeah.
And in this premise where, you know, Skyman is out and being tortured by his CO who has control of his superhero uniform. It, you know, it gives, again, unfortunate implications and reminds me a little bit of the relationship between Tony Stark and Jim Rhodes in the movies, where Tony's like, oh, this is my armor. You can wear it, but it's my armor and I'll shut it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's so I know we've been bagging on this now for about 12 minutes.
Oy.
Tell me one redeeming thing about this book.
One redeeming thing about this book.
Okay.
It is a book with a strong narrative voice, a central character who is a person of color. And I don't, there are different levels of, I didn't like something. There's the level of this was done poorly. There's the level of I didn't like this. And there's the level of this is clearly not for me.
Yeah.
Tonally, trope-wise, clearly not for me. Art-wise, it's on the high side of not quite getting it.
Mm-hmm.
There is some potential here. I mean, it's not as though this is a terrible, awkward, hateful book, but the way it starts off and the undertones throughout it are very disturbing to me.
Yeah.
If you're someone who really wants your characters to have a gritty 80s style can't armor my head mentality in the year 2014. Nothing wrong with that. Not mocking you, not saying you're a terrible person. I'm past that because I've been reading it for 30 years, but you know, there's nothing that says you can't love this book. And I think if you're looking for that, if you come into it and you're aware of the possible hate face triggers of, they don't actually use the N word.
Yeah.
But they do it as what they call the curse cut short trope.
Right, right.
Where he's on TV and you see it and it cuts away just as he, you know, you just see the N-word. I'm like, it's something, it feels like they didn't quite commit, but it's got a strong narrative voice. I feel like once we get into some actual plotting, maybe we get Skyman moments to actually be heroic rather than being at the mercy of the other characters.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty passive throughout this. he kind of bounces back and forth between, you know, I'm badly injured and disabled and trying to get back, literally back on my feet. And now I'm being manipulated and jacked around by people who don't like me for whatever reason. If he gets a chance to actually act, there's potential here. I don't know if I'll be here to read it necessarily, but if somebody gets to issue 6 and tells me, wow, this really got wonderful on issue 3, I would be willing to go back and check it out.
I think for me, what I like is that this is a direct spinoff from events that happened over in the Captain Midnight story.
And drink your Ovaltine, kids.
You know, that I think works a lot in comics. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about the annuals and how annuals in the 80s and 90s were used a lot of time to launch new characters and to serve as a test bed for things that were coming up and things that the company wanted to do. And I think that worked really well. But what needs to happen when you're introducing a new title is it needs to evolve naturally from your current line or from a current title. And that character has to have potential beyond, hey, we've just acquired the license for this character. What can we do with it? So if you do what Skyman evolving out of Captain Midnight, I mean, we should, and we see this happening on television over on the CW's Arrow series where Barry Allen is introduced, and then that will spin off into its own series. It happened, it should happen in any comic book. I mean, instead of just saying, hey, we're introducing a new X-Men title, we've already been following the story of Nightcrawler coming back from the dead. Now let's spin him off into his own standalone series for 6 issues or 10 issues or a year or whatever before we renumber it with number one. And I think that's how it should go. So that's what I really like about Skyman. I keep wanting to call him Sky Captain because of that
Sky
movie.
Sky Pilot. how high can you fly?
But I'm still just trying to wrap my head around how vile 95% of the characters in this book are, and how I don't really want to be associated with any of them. Maybe that's part of the charm, because here's a man that now has to fight from the inside as the sole good guy, fight his way out and overcome all the problems, even though he's being set up as the fall guy. I don't know. The art was okay for me. I agree with you. There's problems in a lot of spots. With faces, poses, and anatomy.
There's some meh in the art.
I'm not a big fan of the coloring, but whatever.
Oh, the coloring is super blue and super muddy.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got guys who are in the army and their coloring is blue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure that out. Or maybe they're Air Force.
They're Air Force. Well, they're a special projects force.
Okay, so I guess blue uniforms work, but this book is blue, blue, blue. Well, and the parts that aren't blue are shadowy.
Or orange, and orange, orange, and shadowy, yeah.
Shadowy, shadowy, shadowy. And
so, you know, I hate doing this to a book, but this is really a book that I just tell readers, I know it's new this week, but I just tell readers, skip it. It just, there's nothing appealing in it for me, and I don't think that there would be anything in it for people that are of like mind as me.
I would say be aware that you're going to be reading a book with a dark underbelly with some overt racist characters.
Right.
In a plot that leaves our main character kind of sidelined. And if you look at the last page, the first full appearance of Eric as Skyman in public,
when
he's got a look on his face like, derp.
Well, yeah, because he was just his CO turned off his suit and almost killed him until the very last minute. And then when it turns back on, he lands there right next to the president, who says, "Here's Skyman. Here's your helmet." And that's the end of that.
And
so
he looks goofy and out of sorts.
Yeah.
That's kind of the problem I have, is when you have a book that works so hard to establish a tone of mean-spiritedness and darkness, you kind of have to be aware of and ready for that.
Yeah.
So I would not say that it's a no-go for me, but I would say definitely be aware. This is not for everybody. This is not a book that you're going to come to for an inspiring read. And as far as diversity goes, yes, I think that this is a book that has a central character who can definitely evolve into a strong person of color. But in this issue, he's kind of treated as the butt monkey.
Yeah.
And that you know, if you're coming in for a strong black hero, this issue doesn't have it yet.
Yeah, this isn't Black Lightning. This isn't Luke Cage.
Yeah. Well, you know, this isn't even Mr. Fish.
No.
But
so one final thing to point out on this is that the cover, this is in the letters column, the cover on the cover of this very issue, a Project Black Sky banner. That's our umbrella title for books like Skyman, Captain Midnight, and the rest. And here's a handy dandy checklist of what Project Black Sky books are coming out over the next 6 months. Nice. And so we have things like The Occultist, X, Skyman, Captain Midnight, Ghost. And so I'm wondering if X and Ghost are going to be part of this Captain Midnight universe, or if that's just what they're calling all of their superhero titles.
Maybe they already are, and they haven't really addressed it. I mean, the whole Golden City Arcadia thing has kind of gone by the wayside.
Oh, yeah.
So I can, excuse me, like that. Sorry, I've been in seminars for the last 3 days. I've been subsisting on, you know, bars and Coca-Cola.
Yeah, there you go.
But when you get to a point where you have a shared universe, I think sometimes it's fun to spring that on people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where you're like, oh, by the way, suddenly Batman.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily hate that.
Yep. Listeners, if you can do us a favor, head over to majorspoilers.com. Click on that. Get a free episode of bonus tracks. All you have to do is sign up, send your email in, your first name, your email, and you get a free bonus tracks that we normally only make available to our silver and gold members over at members.majorspoilers.com. You'll get that. The movie that we're doing is Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. It's Rodrigo, Rob, and myself sitting down providing commentary track to that. We've got a bunch of other movies that we've done bonus tracks for. We just this month for January, we've got Godzilla versus the Thing, which is basically Mothra. It gets a little scatological in places, but it's an interesting bonus tracks because none of us had seen this movie. And I know I hadn't seen it since I was probably 10, so 30 years. And I know the rest of them didn't get to see it ever. It was Zach's first Godzilla movie. But that's bonus tracks. And you can get a free one just by signing up over at majorspoilers.com. And if you're looking to pick up past issues of Captain Midnight, what did he have, like 127 issue run back in the day?
Yeah, if Fawcett Comics back in the day.
I'm sure those are collected somewhere. If you click on that Amazon banner, you can head over to Amazon.com, look for your Sky Captain titles, or maybe you want to collect all the Star Wars omnibuy that you can before they disappear from Dark Horse. You can do that through Amazon. A little bit comes back our way and helps us out, and we thank you for your support there. So speaking of Dark Horse Comics, coming out next week, we've got Captain Midnight number 7, Conan the Barbarian 24, Eerie Archives Hardcover Volume 15, that's a $49.99 book. ElfQuest Final Quest Number 1, which should be interesting. Powers Retro Girl Statue. Wow. A Retro Girl Statue, $180 there.
Wow.
That's really expensive. I normally don't see statues that high. Normally they're about $99 to $120.
That's kind of
spendy. I'm going to have to go and look and see how great this statue is. DC Comics is in week 27, so Animal Man number 27, Batman number 27. Don't confuse that with Detective Comics 27.
Right.
Batman 66 number 7 comes out. A lot of Batman books. Batwoman 27, Birds of Prey 27, Harley Quinn number 2, Justice League 27. That's the Forever Evil tie-in.
Evil!
They have the Trinity of Sin Pandora number 7 and Wonder Woman 27 among the titles coming out from DC Comics. Ooh, there's a Batman Black and White Batman Earth 2 statue. That's $79.95. I hope I pre-ordered that one. I think I've gotten almost every single one of the Batman Black and White statues since they started those years and years ago. And I'm running out of room. There's like about 24 of them that I haven't even unboxed that I need to find shelf space for.
24 statues that you haven't unboxed.
Yeah. At one point, I had a closet that was probably, it's probably about 5 feet wide and about 20 feet long. And at one point, it was piled from floor to ceiling all the way through with statues and toys and stuff that I never got around to unboxing. And then I bought a bunch of shelving and have put up the statues, got rid of all the boxes and stuff. Some people, if you follow me on Twitter, @MajorSpoilers, occasionally I will post that wall of statues.
Yes, it is impressive.
It is. It's kind of cool.
I will say this. There's a reason why my statue collection is 2¾ inches tall.
Oh, yeah. It's expensive. It is expensive.
Yeah. I paid $15 for a key once, and I felt like I was put out. I can't imagine. $89.99 for a Batman statue.
The most expensive statue that we have in the Major Spoilers HQ is the life-size Batman statue. It is life-size Batman statue. It stands at 7 feet tall.
Batman is 7 feet tall?
Yep.
Tell Rodrigo that Torque is now 7 feet tall. If Batman is 7 feet tall, Torque is 7 feet tall.
I just got another life-size statue this past week.
Jameson Shadowhunter?
No. But it does make an appearance. It does make an appearance in the most recent Major Spoilers VIP chat for January.
Is that what you're calling Zach now?
No.
Life-size statue.
Back to the solicitations. IDW Publishing has Jin-Rise number 9, Magic the Gathering Theros number 4, Mr. Peabody and Sherman number 3. Coincidentally, there is a Mr. Peabody and Sherman movie coming out in the next 6 months. Yes. Who says hello, dum-dums?
That's the Great Gazoo.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Hello. Yeah, and he was, I believe, voiced by Harvey Korman.
Yeah. Over at Image Comics, they have Bad Dog number 6, Chew number 39, Deadly Class number 1. I don't know what Deadly Class number 1 is. The Krampus number 2 book comes out. Sex number 10, 0 number 5. Remember, you will not be able to get Sex on your iPad through the Comixology store.
You will not be able to obtain the latest issue of the comic book called Sex.
That's correct.
Well, what you do with your iPad in the dead of night is between you and Apple Care.
Marvel Comics has All New Invaders number 1, All New X-Factor number 2, All New Invaders. X-Men 22 Point Now. What is A-N-M-N? What does that stand for?
Animal Man.
Oh, that's not Inhumanity, no?
All New Marvel Now.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. All right. Oh, so they've got All New X-Men 22.now, All New Marvel Now.
Right.
Coming out next week.
It's All New, All New Marvel. All New. www.
Black Widow number 2 comes out next week? Are they doing this bi-weekly? Yes. Is that what this is?
For a while, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was, I think the first 3 or 4 issues are going to come out by week.
Okay. And for those wondering, yes, we get a new Hawkeye number 16 next week.
Hawkeye 16. Clap.
Indestructible Hulk number 18. That's the Inhumanity tie-in. Man, that tie-in series kind of came and went, didn't it?
Inhumanity?
Yeah. It's like they've got Iron Man. They've got Mighty Avengers number 5. That's a tie-in.
Yeah.
And that is it.
Has Inhumanity started yet?
I thought it did.
I don't know. Maybe I know that they're making a big deal about Inhumans popping up around because the Blizzard is an Inhuman now.
I don't know who that is, but I will take
the old word Iron Man villain who was kind of Iceman.
Oh, maybe that's why it's Iron Man has a Inhumanity tie-in next week.
Could be. What do you say about All New Invaders number 1? I love me some Android Human Torch.
Is that that doesn't have Doctor Strange in it, is it? That's not that team. He's the Defenders, right?
No, he was never a Defender. The Defenders were the Hulk, the Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, and Namor the Submariner.
Okay.
The Invaders were Captain America, Namor, the Human Torch, Bucky, and the Human Torch's kid sidekick, whose name was, oddly enough, Toro.
Toro, that's right.
Toro, yeah. It didn't make any sense because, you know, Toro, of course, is Spanish for bull. And he didn't have bull powers. He had flame powers.
Ah, sure. All New Invaders number 1.
New Invaders number 1.
We also have Archie Funhouse Double Digest number 1. There's number 1 we can review.
Did I tell you what I did this weekend?
What did you do this weekend?
I put together eBay lots, and it was hundreds and hundreds of Archie books. And I'm like, man, that Betty. She's a clothes horse.
Atomic Robo Savage Sword of Dr. Dinosaur number 5 comes out next week. Battlestar Galactica number 7. Oh, did you read Little Battlestar Galactica that came out today?
Not yet.
I read the review copy this morning, and it is the original Battlestar Galactica universe. It's done by Art Balthazar.
Little Lauren Green.
Well, except Lauren Green is the dad, so he's all grown up, but like Starbuck and Boomer and Apollo are all little kids.
which makes sense.
It was somewhat cute, but and then they had little the main bad guy.
Gaius?
No. Shoot. He's a grown-up too.
Baltar.
Right. It seems like in those books the bad guys tend to be adults for some reason.
Baltar was actually completely apropos of nothing, played by the same guy who played one of the classic Klingons in Star Trek. I think it was John Colicos.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm like, ooh, look, it's a Klingon. Well, it's Battlestar Galactica.
Go read that. You might get a kick out of it. Bo Fleshy Gangsta number one. Bubblegun number four. Crossed Badlands number 45.
Oh.
Doc Savage number two. Let's see. Fracture number two. Ghost Cop number two. Gold Digger number 206. Hacktivist number one. Gold Digger, Gold Digger is one of those series that has been around for decades.
25 years.
As an independent series, and I still think there are so many people who don't know anything about Gold Digger, including me. I think I've read like the first volume. It's about this
girl who's a werecheetah.
Yes. Isn't she an archaeologist?
I don't remember what she
does. Man, we should try to review that sometime on the Major Spoilers podcast. Yeah. Jack Hammer number one comes out next week.
Jack Hammer.
Legends of Red Sonja number three. Ooh, here's your little title for next week. Little Bionic Kids. So it's going to be Bionic Man, Bionic Woman.
Does it have Bigfoot?
I don't know.
If it has Bionic Bigfoot, I'm so in.
It might.
Because I remember noticing when Bionic Bigfoot switched from Ted Cassidy to Andre the Giant. Or rather, the other way around. I don't remember which way it went. But I'm like, that's not the same Bigfoot. That may be the origin of my nerdy side going, no, incorrect, sir.
Oh, you. Mockingdead number two. Penny for Your Soul, Death number five.
Yeah, I read about that book.
Red Sonja number five. Let's see. Skyward number five. Trying to find anything that's not a trade paperback down at the bottom of the list. The Lone Ranger 21, Vampirella Annual 2013. Yep, right. Weirdo Years, 1981 to 1993 hardcover. What is that, Weirdo Years?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's called Weirdo Years 1981 to 1993. That's what it is.
Yeah, I like Weirdo Years.
So do I.
And
suddenly
Weirdo Years is my Talking Heads cover band.
Suddenly I went to class. And
you may ask yourself, is this my beautiful wife?
And finally, we have World of Archie Double Digest number 36.
You may find yourself at the wheel of a large automobile. And you may say to yourself, did I just run over a nun? Where's my liquid paper? Where's my liquid paper?
And the water holds me up. And I love the Talking Heads.
Yeah, but we're never going to find a big suit big enough to be a big suit on me. We need like an 86 long.
You know, I think Vegas, there's one of those hanging up in a store window. So
it's there. All right. I meant to go check.
Listeners, that is just a small sampling of the books coming out next week. You can find the complete list over at majorspoilers.com. Usually on Monday afternoon when they confirm that the shipping list, we usually put it up. But that gives you an indication of some of the books coming out next week. And it looks like Amazing Invaders Now, .3216.1.
Not now.
All right. That's what we'll do next week.
Cool.
And enjoy your week, everybody. We will talk to you next time as two guys sit down and read one comic, Infinite Possibilities.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.